Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Ramadan is very near, indeed, very close, and everywhere, alhamdulillah, people are speaking, preparing for Ramadan, and with passion, with desire, with interest, preparation is being made for Ramadan. And if we see or look at this point with regards to preparation for Ramadan, in fact, preparation for Ramadan is preparation for maut, for passing away, death. Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan. And in reality, Ramadan is there to help us prepare for death nicely. If our Ramadan passes nicely, then inshallah our death will also be nice and a good ending. So this is a deep subject. Don't just think that Ramadan is superficial or has no objective. It will assist us and improve our condition at the time of death. So Ramadan's preparation is preparation for maut, for death. So what is the preparation for Ramadan? The real preparation for Ramadan is that we need to plan, how do we protect and preserve our Ramadan? This is a very important point, precious point, and a person, all of his life success hinges, you could say, on this as well. So how do we preserve our Ramadan? How do we protect it? How do we safeguard it? How do we improve it so that our Ramadan is saved, so that our maut is good? So to do those actions that protect our Ramadan, that's what's important. If our Ramadan becomes impure, without purpose, then all the ibadat we will do, all the worship will be contaminated, will be impure. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept impure worship. So the effort that we have to make, the maximum effort we have to make, and we have to start thinking about this now, is that what actions spoil Ramadan? And we need to abstain from those things, or stay away, steer away. Ibadat continues, okay, I've done a lot of ibadah, but if my Ramadan is impure, then what's the point of doing ibadah? We keep on emphasizing on ibadah, worship, but we don't emphasize on those actions that will contaminate, taint, yeah? Put a stain on our Ramadan. If Ramadan is spoilt, then may Allah not allow this to happen, then our death will be spoiled, now ibadah will come in use. So this is an important point that's come into my mind. So what we have to see is that what things spoil Ramadan, what things affect Ramadan in a negative way. My brothers, there's only one thing which spoils everything, and that is the sin, the action of sin, sinning. Yeah, the sins, guna. Doesn't matter what ibadah I do, what worship actions I do, prayer, they will be spoilt by sin. Sin will taint all of my ibadah. Doesn't matter how great worship I do, but if my ruh, my body is doing sin, then it will spoil and eliminate all of my deeds, and there'll be no value left to my deeds. Now, the preparation for Ramadan is what? That from today we need to think and analyze that what sins are there that are in our lives that will spoil our own Ramadan. Each and every one of us, Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran guidance, that leave the external sins and the internal sins, leave the zahiri sins and the batini sins, because very soon you'll be punished for these. Very soon you'll be punished for these. So now I need to think, Ramadan is near, I don't want to implement external sins, zahiri or batini, internal sins. Yeah, zahiri sins, alhamdulillah, we try our best, we make efforts, we make a plan, a strategy, and we remove those sins from our lives. Everyone tries their best with the fadl of Allah, grace of Allah. We are aware, conscious, I'm fasting, don't do this, leave this. But the batini sins, the internal sins of the soul, the nafs, we are very, very weak in thinking about these and accepting these, being aware of these and eliminating these. Why? Because the zahiri sin, external. Who makes us, influences us to do external sins? Shaitan, the devil. But in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala imprisons shaitan. So one very big power, energy that was influencing us to do external sins, Allah Ta'ala has freed us from the influence of shaitan. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I don't want to spoil your Ramadan. So from the first minute, Allah Ta'ala imprisons shaitan. Allah Ta'ala desires that our Ramadan is not spoiled. So what did Allah Ta'ala do? Allah's mercy came, Allah's rahm came, grace. Allah Ta'ala said, I eliminated one big power. I shackled and change shaitan. Shaitan cannot influence you to do sin in Ramadan. So what's left? What's left? Why do we still do wrong in Ramadan? Because of our own nafs. Allah Ta'ala has not imprisoned nafs, our own desires. There's a reason for this. Allah Ta'ala says, I have imprisoned shaitan in Ramadan. I could have imprisoned nafs, then Ramadan would not have been a challenge, would it? Then how would I progress spiritually and in Allah Ta'ala's eyes? So progression, promotion is this, that a person's committing sins and his nafs is influencing him towards sin, and that individual says, no, I will stand firm, and for the sake of Allah, I will not implement this sin. Allah says, aha, you've become great. You've been propelled to the heights of greatness. And this is the meaning of Ramadan. This is Qurb of Allah. This is the nearness of Allah. Those people, who will those people be who will be closest to Allah? Those same people who for the sake of Allah, most they crush their desires and stayed away from sin. They will be closest to Allah. And this is the biggest worship. The biggest worship is to abstain from sin. Remember this. When our desires force us, steer us, influence us towards sin, and we stop and we oppose the nafs. Because shaitan, he makes us do external sins. But nafs, the desires, we have to think about our desires. The nafs influences us towards hidden sins, batini sins. Where are batini sins? They emanate from within. And who influences us towards the batini sins? The nafs. The base desire. So during Ramadan, whilst we're fasting, what do? Allah is merciful and He's given us a great opportunity of Ramadan. So Allah Ta'ala says that during Ramadan, your desires, which makes the work of nafs make easy. For example, the stomach, when it's full of food, then the nafs is happy and it starts to do its work. When a person is full, stomach, food-wise, food and drink, then that person has more passion and lust and desires and attraction towards evil and sin. But if someone's hungry, 2-3 days, poverty, hunger, then a person forgets all of the sins and lust and desires, wrongful desires. So Allah Ta'ala gave us Ramadan. He gave us the darajat and the heights. So Allah Ta'ala imprisoned one of our arch enemies, Shaytan. And Allah Ta'ala said that even to oppose your next enemy, the big enemy, nafs, is that I gave you hunger during Ramadan so you can control your nafs. So this is Allah's mercy in a massive scale. Allah Ta'ala could have said, and He's told us, don't eat and don't drink so that we can suppress our desires. Big assistance from Allah. But nafs is still there, and nafs uses tactics to spoil our Ramadan, and it still steers us towards sins that we don't consider sins. It will make us do actions that we say, no, this is not a sin, I'm fine. And why do we do the sins of the nafs? Where do they emanate from? From the heart. From the heart. The heart is the markaz. It is the fountain. Yeah, so if the tank is dirty, if the heart is dirty, if a sin is committed and the heart is spoilt by the nafs, then all of the fasting of a person is spoilt, and all the nur and the light, it disappears. And when the fast is spoilt, then remember, at that time it will be spoiled, the fast, when a person commits a sin or sins. And the sign is that a person will feel so hungry and exhausted, and time again, I look at his watch. Oh, the fast is long today. The day is long today. It's not passing. The reason for this is that a person has committed sins, and the nuraniyat, the spirituality and the enlightenment of fast, it disappears. Somebody has done zina or sins with the hands or feet or ears or eyes. When then the light comes out from our fast, then what is left? Just hunger and thirst. When a person is just hungry and thirsty, he'll have headache or stomach ache. He may feel like vomiting or nausea or dizziness. Thousands of different effects, because the effect of fast is gone. But if a person has the spirituality of the fast in his life, then as the fasting day increases, he will feel more enjoyment. And he will feel that he has attained something, achieved something. A beautiful feeling, emotion overcomes a person, becomes light. And as the time goes closer to iftar and the day becomes longer, the person's fast gets easier. What a beautiful opposite extreme. So protection of our fast is important, my friends. And from today, we need to have worry and concern that those sins we call minor sins, no, they're dangerous. We need to save ourselves from those sins. We need to save ourselves. There are various sins we don't realize we are sinning. Even, for example, let's take one sin. Hirs. Or desire. Greediness. Extreme greed and want is a big sin. It's a big sin. It's a very broad sin. Now we, from today, need to analyze our sins. That this is sin A, sin B, sin 1, 2, 3. Forget shaitan. Shaitan will not be there in Ramadan. Let's look at the sins of our nafs. This is also a sin, and this is also a sin. And let's start controlling from today. I need to analyze my sins and control them and fight my nafs. Fight my desires. So hirs, greed, is a very big sin that emanates from within the soul, from within the heart, from within the batin. There's a hadith in Mishkat, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu narrated this hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a unique way defined this sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person has two valleys full of mal, wealth, not one valley, two. Two valleys. And we can compare that to today. You have two shops full of stock. Or you have two factories and you are manufacturing big time with big profits. Yeah? Or you have two assets and your work is progressing smoothly. You have two warehouses, two buildings, two houses freehold on rent, two petrol pumps churning out the pound notes. Yeah, why the valley full of wealth? That said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say you've got these assets. But despite this, what will the man say? Oh, if I had a third one, then it'd be really nice, wouldn't it? Oh, if I had a third factory, oh, it'd be even better. Oh, if I got that building opposite as well, under my name freehold, I'd enjoy it even more. If I buy a third shop, even better life. Even better life. And this is what happens, isn't it? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this individual who desires more, such a person, his stomach cannot be filled with anything in this world. He'll have three, he'll still not fill four stomach, still not fill five factories, still not fill six shops, still not fill the stomach. Aha! One thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said can fill his stomach, and that is the soil, the dust, and the earth. That's what will fill the stomach of the human being. The stomach of the human being, that person who has the greed desire, will be filled by the earth and the soil and the dust. What a beautiful point. Rasulullah concluded with that, but if we do tawbah, Allah will accept the tawbah. Subhanallah. So we get the direction in with regards to Ramadan, that brothers, if we have this deficiency within us, something like this, then let's do tawbah. Allah will accept the tawbah. So today the doors of tawbah are open. And if insan wants to be saved from such a big sin and say in the court of Allah, Allah, I have this defect within me. I do tawbah from all of my previous sins. And from now on, I want to extract and eliminate greed from my life. Allah, I do tawbah, accept it. Allah says, from before in advance, I will accept your tawbah. Subhanallah. Now, there are a few signs, because this is a big sin, it's a broad sin, it's a vast sin, a vast sin. So we are doing this discussion for our analysis, that do I have this sin? You will analyze, I will analyze. We want to be saved from spoiling our Ramadan. So what are the signs of greed? What are the symptoms that do I have greed within me? Because this is between me and Allah. This is not showing to the people of the world. Yeah, if you want to show, that's your choice. Allah says, keep your dirt, keep your sin. Your Ramadan's gone, don't eat, don't drink, but you won't get the nur and the light. You are like an empty box. You will have no benefit in your salah, your fasting, your hunger, no thawab. So we need to try our hardest to leave the sins before and after Ramadan, during Ramadan. So if we don't sin, then Ramadan will be full of light and benefit. So what are the symptoms of greed, the sin of greed? Now, this first sign of greed is that the individual who has greed wants to amass and hoard wealth. Is that day and night he has just one thought. One thought, make money, amass, amass, bank balance, hoard it, save it, dreams, money, sitting thinking about money, driving thinking about money, talking about money, his shops are in his mind, his factories are in his mind, his machines are in his mind, his business is on his mind, always revolving his mind, how do I increase turnover, gross, net, profit, return, margin, pounds, deposits, bank balances. People say, yeah, I'm thinking, I'm plotting strategy to progress, to prosper, to become more successful. He's thinking, the person becomes drowned. So this is the first sign. Is tafakkur, fikr, and worry and concern. How do I increase money? I'll come from here, from the left, the right. If I do this and that, I will prosper, etc. Now this fikr, alongside that, then he will need the conclusion of his strategy. Everyone who is a businessman or who's worried about money will make a strategy to increase the wealth, and then he'll want to conclude on his strategy to make more money. So the manners or the recognition of halal and haram will cease. So this is the second step. That the person, he will then have no respect for halal and haram, or distinguishing ability. So to achieve his strategy and targets of wealth, he will not look at the boundaries of Sharia, that if I go beyond this or transgress this boundary, my mawla, I will do haram. Rather, he will put his targets in front of him, his financial targets, and he will do anything and everything to achieve those targets, even if it's a haram action. Even the had, the boundary of haram, he will surpass those, go beyond them to achieve his targets. And mostly, that person will then be free from the rules of halal and haram, and his objective of life will be that my mal needs to increase. Rasulullah ﷺ said that his target will be, I need another value, another asset. And he will go beyond halal and haram, and he will desire that I'll do anything, even have to go towards unlawful actions, and his earnings, there'll be a lot of danger in it. There'll be very few halal, and there'll be lying, fraud, deception, cheating. And even if he externally is saved from interest, the other forms of interest will be in his life. Do tazkiyah. I have to analyze this before my life, mashallah. That this is not some waste of time words that I am mentioning. That we have to think, I'm just speaking with pain and hurt, and let's discuss together that let's not spoil our Ramadan. Let's identify that, are we in this category of people who don't care of about how they earn or where the finance is coming from, etc., just to meet financial targets? So we'll cross the boundaries of halal and haram. We'll lie. Is there any sin bigger than lying? It's such a bad sin. But to earn money, fraud, deception, cheating, saying wrong thing, to sign on the wrong dotted line, these are all sins. Signing on incorrectly, wrong claims, and in Ramadan? What kind of Ramadan is that then? So the third thing is, so number one, as I said, is the person who has greed, who wants more, and he will surpass the boundaries of halal and haram. Thirdly, he will not have any concern for haqooqullah and haqooqul ibad. Both of these haqooq will diminish in his sights to earn financial targets. Haqooqullah, the rights of Allah, and haqooqul ibad, the rights of society. For example, we have the faraid, haqooqullah, praying salah, ahkams of Allah, praying salah in jama'ah, congregation, praying salah in its beginning time, praying all the salah, faraid, compulsory actions. This will diminish in that person's life. He prays, he'll pray here, there, home, and he'll try to delay or be released from the faraid. I'll seek excuses so that the faraid actions, they are released from his life. Ah, it's too much of a burden. I want to be free from this. Oh, I couldn't do it. I was too late. I was here. I was praying at home in my shop. I did sujood here or there. I couldn't pray on time. I didn't have time. And one thing in his mind, this, if I meet these financial targets, then I'll start praying salah. Then if I do this, then I'll do this. And he doesn't allow that time. Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow the time to come to that person's life that he can totally, with conviction, sincerity, fulfill his salah in jama'ah, in congregation. So who does this happen with? That person who is greedy, who wants to amass wealth upon wealth upon wealth. Big sin. This is called greed. Hoarding wealth. Excess. So then, point number three is that person, he leaves haqooqullah. He disregards haqooqullah, the rights of Allah. Then haqooqul ibad, rights of society. What happens with regards to this? He also eliminates that from his life. To earn money, no rights given to wife, children, doesn't know where his family is. Please just stay away from me. When I earn money, then we'll do this, we'll go here. When I get so much, then I'll do this with my wife and children. No fulfillment of the rights of the wife. He doesn't care about the children, doesn't bring up the children properly. Just one thing, money, targets, bank balance. When we earn this much, then we'll sit together, talk and discuss, and life will pass away like this, and the wife and children, they lose out from the shafqat, the love and the company of the husband. And despite children, a man has other responsibilities, haqooqul ibad, not just wife, children, mother, father, relatives, associates, colleagues, everything will be asked on the day of judgment about the rights. The person who is greedy, he will surpass these also in the game of life of earning money, and he will leave haqooqul ibad, wife, children, parents, relatives, friends, neighbors. He will discard all the rights. But oh, so we have to think, am I fulfilling the rights of society around me? Or is it due to money that I've left, discarded all of this as well? So we'll be free from that as well. Big sin, and a big consequence of this sin of greed. And further, other sins are attached with these sins. When a person is greedy, may Allah forgive, then this is a gate towards destruction. Greed is a gate towards destruction. So what's the cure? What's the cure? How do we control and eliminate greed from our lives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pious elders have told us how to eliminate greed. So let's listen. If anyone has an intention, remember, cure will occur, the cure will take effect if I or we have the intention to take the cure. Now let's take
physical illness. A body has a physician, you know, for example, you know when the medicine, the caplet or tablet goes in your mouth, then it will start to take effect. Child is crying, mother forces the spoon into the child's mouth. Get this cough syrup and take it. Take this antibiotic. And the child is crying, mother, mother, I don't want the medicine, it's bitter, horrible. She says, no, open your mouth. And she shoves the medicine in. And after a few hours, the medicine will take effect. But the spiritual diseases, the ruhani, inner batin illnesses, you cannot give someone a tasbih in his hand, Allah, 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 and he will cure himself. No, it cannot happen like this. It needs to start from within. Do 1,000 tasbih, 15,000 tasbih, recite this many times Allah's name. And we think, oh, I'm doing tasbih because my sins will be removed and I will feel good. No, never will it happen. This subject of tazkiyah and purification and eliminating the sins. I remember Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jana Rahmatullah Alayhi, great Sheikh in the Naqshbandi chain series of teachers, and he had a great Khulafa Hazrat Qazi Thanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah was his great Khalifa. And Hazrat Qazi Panipati Rahmatullah was such a great Sheikh that when the student Hazrat Qazi Thanaullah Panipati would come to his Sheikh Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jana's gathering, then the Sheikh would stand and the student would say, Hazrat, you're the Sheikh and you're standing when your student comes in. He said, what can I say to you, Qazi Thanaullah, my murid, student, when he comes to my gathering? Allah Ta'ala has elevated his status so much that angels come with another angel stand when he enters. So I'm forced to stand. He was such a great Shaykh, Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jana, and he had such great khulafa. And he had another great khalifa, Hazrat Ghulam Ali Sahib, rahmatullah. Greater than, there was an event in his life. At this point in time, that event has come out of my mind while I was talking. It's left my mind. There was a sequence I was trying to follow. Anyway, as I was saying, is that the cure, you can only cure spiritual inner sickness and illness spiritually, the nafs and the desires within. First and foremost, we need to have the intention. Ah, what I was saying. So somebody asked him, Hazrat, if I go to meet a pious elder, how should I travel to see a pious person? Should I just go and say salam, present my questions? He said, no, this path of meeting a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, a pious person, if you want to meet someone pious, how should you go? Do wudu, ablution, pray two rakah salah, and do dua to Allah, I'm traveling on a journey to meet a pious person. Then present yourself to that pious person. Alhamdulillah, you will see the faiz come into your life, the blessings. So the cure for the batin, it's not a physical cure, you eat, consume the medicine, it's gone in. No. First and foremost, we have to make niyyah that we want to correct ourselves. We want to correct ourselves. We want to eliminate the sins. We want to eliminate bidat, innovation, fuzuliyat, time wasting. We want to eliminate the sins from within us. We want to become pious and good. When we have this niyyah, intention, after making this niyyah, then when you do mujahid on that path, and Allah Ta'ala will start to assist that person. And the Quran says, وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا, that Allah Ta'ala says, when a person makes effort, Allah says, when you start to make effort, you have niyyah, Allah, I want to leave the sins, forgive me, and then Allah Ta'ala says, that I will open the paths for you. I will open the doors for you. So it's very essential and necessary. If we don't have niyyah to be corrected, we keep on doing wrong things and sinning to eliminate the sins, then to attain Allah's nearness, Allah's help and assistance first and foremost, we need to go to the court of Allah, presence of Allah. Allah say, Allah, eliminate my sins. No sin is big or powerful. If Allah wants, within a second, the sin can be removed. Allah will wipe that sin from the memory of that person's name. So greed is not a big sin. It's not that powerful. Allah says, if you ask for me, I will eliminate it from your life. So first make niyyah, intention. So the first thing, the first cure here is that to eliminate greed is that we need to spend our wealth. MashaAllah, subhanAllah. What do we need to do? Spend our wealth. So if we want to end greed, eliminate greed, so the mal that's in the banks here and there, in our treasure chest here and there, and everywhere, what should we do? We should start spending our mal, spending it. And see how greed will come away from our lives. So a person who is greedy and wants to amass and hoard wealth, if you start to spend your wealth, then you're starting to cure that disease of greed. So the first level of spending is fard, then it's wajib, and then there's mustahab. So there are different levels of the need to spend. So we need to spend in the same way, and then greed will come out of our lives. Understood? So let's say fard. We have zakah. which is the compulsory charity on every human being. That if zakat is compulsory, we need to calculate the zakat on time, not according to our opinion, rather take all of our wealth, add it up, do the calculation. Mostly people do the calculation or give out the, distribute the zakat in Ramadan. So do it on time. And it's fard, it's compulsory. We need to do it correctly, amass all our wealth together, add it up, wherever it is, mashallah. The rich people, they give out hundreds of thousands of pounds or rupees, etc. It's the shukr of Allah. It's that we should be thankful to Allah. Allah has given us wealth and we're able to distribute to the people who are poor. But what do? We play games, we commit fraud. Oh, I have to pay tax, income tax, this tax. I can't include this asset. No, it's too much. No, when we spend in Allah's path, we should spend more over and above. In other words, put more weight onto the scale. If it's five, no, I'll give 20. Doesn't make any difference. At least I'm distributing my wealth. When we start to do this, then Allah says your greed will start to shake and crumble from within. Yeah? So, when we come to spending so that we can eliminate the sin of greed, then first we need to assess what are the fard compulsory spend I have to do. Okay, give money here. Oh, I'll give to this person. No. When you calculate zakat and distribute zakat, because this is a fard action, we need to be cautious on who we are giving zakat to. Just like we pray salah with caution and care. Am I praying behind someone whose salah maybe is spoiled? Is my salah behind this person accepted, etc.? In the same way, I have to analyze, because tomorrow I'll be asked, how did I spend my money? What do we do? Oh, just give money to him or send it through this charity organization. I don't even know who's getting it. How do I know what's happening in the world, how the money is being distributed? So it's lazim, essential. I need to know that my zakat money, I'm not going to give you the masail of zakat. That's a deep subject. Ulema, the scholars will explain. I'm just speaking generally that I need to know where is it fard for me to give zakat. And I need to understand that person I'm giving zakat to or the person who's distributing the zakat for me knows that those who are attaining or achieving or being given the zakat, is it haq for them? Are they deserving of zakat? And is it necessary? And don't say to someone that you're giving zakat to him or show him you're giving a favor. There are many people who have modesty and high. They are shameful and humble. They don't explain their hardships to others and they don't share with others. And they will feel ashamed if we tell them we give them the zakat. But give them zakat in such a way that they don't realize. So we need to struggle for this. We need to make effort for this. And on this fard of zakat, we're not making an effort. We sit here and we wire the money somewhere else or send it across the globe or give to this. And where's the money going? To which city, town, village? You can't tell from the receipt. Or are cars being bought or buildings? People are amassing the wealth for zakat. The ulama, the scholars have said this. I'm not giving you a fatwa, but the ulama, the scholars have said the same point. We need to be cautious, with extreme caution, give zakat. Don't have this situation that you've given the money and it's not fulfilled the objective. And then after fard spend comes wajib spend, which this is also compulsory, and there are levels of wajib spend. I'll give you an example. In the category of wajib spend, first and foremost is the haq of the wife and the children. Yeah, we have to support and spend on our wife and children. This is wajib, compulsory, and the person who doesn't spend on the wife and children is sinning. He has compromised with the wajib. There's a hadith. If you want to eliminate greed, then according to the shara, according to Allah Ta'ala's laws and the boundaries, how should we spend on the wife and the children? How much should we give to them? Don't compete with others. Oh, I'm going to give my father this much, my wife this much, and my children this much. This is not about competition. Each individual has a haq, a right. And Allah has explained that in Sharia. What do? No, give to his mother and give to my mother as well. He gave to his sister and give to my sister. My wife, he gave to him, to her. So also give to me and make the same for me. This is what happens in Mu'ashara. Astaghfirullah. This is haram. This is unlawful. There's no custom in Islam to do this. No, give haqq to the people. So first and foremost is the haqq, the rights of the wife and the children. You have got married to your wife. You have to fulfill the vows, the promises you made. Allah Ta'ala says, I've assigned this woman to you. She's your partner. When you got married, you promised that I am responsible for this woman. You have to fulfill the vows and the promise. Your wife has a need for something. And you know she has a need for something. And she doesn't ask you normally. You try. There's a different subjects and stories. Families with their quarrels and family issues between the husband and the wife. Friction. And I cannot solve those. But a normal family, a straight life where husband and wife have love. There are no arguments. And there's understanding. And there everything happens with ease. And she says to husband herself, please buy this for me or give me this. I have this need. Give me this much money I need to spend. The good household with his family and cleanliness and purity of heart and no arguments. And the wife asks with happiness. She knows it's all right. or give this to me, I need this, and he will give to her. Because the husband, he knows, sometimes the husband doesn't know what the wife wants, or she has a need, and but whatever she asks for, if it's within necessities, etc., then he gives to her. So the wife and children, to spend on them, we will be asked on the Day of Judgment, how did we fulfill the rights? And after that, we are spending on them, it's wajib, we are eliminating the greed. After that, there are other wajibats, other necessary spend, for example, mother and father. Now, at that time, if your mother and father, if they cannot earn, they don't have any money, but if they have a big bank balance, money, wealth, assets, they have two houses on their name, freehold, and then they say, oh my son, you've not served me, you've not paid me, you've given your wife this much, and you give to this person this much, I want to make a mansion abroad, and a villa, this is haram. Parents who demand money like this, it's haram, even though they've got so much wealth themselves, there's no haq on the child to give to them. But if the parents are poor, they don't have enough to meet their daily necessities and needs and food requirements and drink or pay the bills, etc., then it's wajib on the children, on the child, on the son or the child, that fulfill the jais necessary rights of the parents. Spend on them. Alhamdulillah, this is wajib. So greed will go. What do we do? And what do we do? What does the greedy person do? He saves from everywhere. Wife, children, parents, everyone. And he saves how? Rather, he reduces their costs. Oh, I want to take their money in some way. This should come into my balance as well. Like, for example, nowadays we have, you know, the child benefit. I don't know what it is. You know, people, the children, they get the child allowance, the child benefit. There's arguments. The husband's trying to transfer those funds to his name. He says, this is mine as well. Give it to me. And the wife said, no, no, no. And he says to the wife, just take these few pounds and you can spend on this. This is haram. What link do you have with her money? That this is her. These are her funds due to the children. So when we spend on the family, wife, children, parents, then distributing to her relatives, brothers, sisters, the poor relatives, spending on them. In other words, money is being given. It's coming out of the bank and being spent from the hands. It's going. It's not staying in one place. Subhanallah. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, once 100,000 dirhams came. And they came to her, 100,000 dirhams. Lot of wealth. By the evening, every dirham from the 100,000 was spent, distributed. And in the evening, it was fasting month. And in the time of iftar, she had one date and a dry piece of bread. And the worker at home said, oh Aisha, amazing, 100,000 dirhams you've distributed. And you didn't keep anything for yourself. You could have bought something to break the fast with that money. And as Aisha, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, mother of the believer, said, oh, why didn't you tell me before? If you told me before, I could have done something. Subhanallah, what a status. So spend, the need to spend. Another point comes in. Remember this point. Listen clearly to what I'm saying. That in the path of Allah, when a person spends mal, ilm, and education, or knowledge and energy, and distributes to people for the sake of Allah, it doesn't just have to be money, it could be your resources. Then Allah Ta'ala increases your resources, and in compensation Allah gives not one sin, not two sin, rather 10 times over. Allah Ta'ala says, I multiply your deed. You will get 10 times over multiplication, the reward, according to the sunnah. For example, mustahab, if you spend your money in a mustahab, preferable, desirable way, then two things will come. One comes hadiyah, what comes sadaqah. So after spending fard and wajib, there are two other types of spend. For example, if you give somebody a gift, somebody says, why are you giving hadiyah? Is it his birthday today? Why are you giving a gift? But yes, there are many ways of increasing muhabbat, love to your friends, relatives, to people you know, especially those people who you want to increase their love with those people, you want to get closer to somebody, you want to have a close relationship with somebody. For example, oh, I oppressed this person, or I did wrong to this person. The Prophet ﷺ said, to solve that clash, give hadiyah, gift, and the love will increase. The love will increase. A very great action, hadiyah, giving a gift. And respecting someone, to honor somebody, give him hadiyah, to respect somebody, or for example, a pious elder, or wali, a sheikh, he's a sheikh, he's an alim, a scholar, you respect that person out of respect, that please, this is a gift from me, accepted, out of respect, you give to him. So this person, this is called hadiyah. So if you are fulfilling somebody's need, they have a need, they are poor, they have a need suddenly, then we don't call that hadiyah, we call that sadaqah. We call that sadaqah, charity. And both of these are great and fantastic deeds, and both have great reward. Anyway, the pious elders have said that when these 4 or 5 paths, a person spends in the same way that Allah Ta'ala has given the hukam, Allah Ta'ala's instructions and guidance and framework, subhanallah, then the question doesn't arise that greed will remain in our lives. Rather, in opposition to greed, people say, he's a sakhi. He's generous. He's distributing sakhabat. And his heart will open up so much with the fadl of Allah. And he will feel so much enjoyment in giving. He won't even realize the money I've saved, that how much enjoyment I have in giving.
So, alongside that, another cure, because this is cure to the heart, and then of course there's another cure, that we should correct our hearts with the dhikr of Allah. Where these diseases are embedded in our hearts, then especially Ramadan is coming, my friends, let's eliminate this disease and illness of greed. Let's open our pockets, empty our pockets, give zakat on time, sadaqat, wajibat, charity, wajib spending, fard spending, and mustab spending, sunnah spending, a beautiful opportunity to spend on people in your home countries, or people around the world, on poor people. And the best hadiah is that gift that you give to those who are close to you, to your brothers, sisters. How many relatives we have who are poor, in need, dire need? Give to them first. People you know, associates, relatives, first and foremost, before Ramadan starting, before Ramadan starts, this action, analyze, assess, and give to those in need. And if this illness is in us, may Allah not allow this to happen, that we're not greedy and we have these deficiencies. May Allah allow us to be corrected. But even if we have these deficiencies, let's analyze. If these diseases are within us, then they do dua to Allah, and we should carry out the cure and start spending the money and look after our hearts, protect our hearts, and start doing dhikr of Allah. Because if the heart is impure, dirty, then the dirty sins will keep on coming to heart. So Ramadan is coming. It's better that before Ramadan we start doing dhikr of Allah, do qalbi dhikr, remember Allah in the heart, so that before Ramadan comes, the nur comes into heart, that light, and alhamdulillah, we are saved from the sins, and khalis pure. We keep the good fast in which there's no impurity. May Allah Ta'ala give us His karam and mercy. Ameen.